here's a story from The World.
In a matter of moments on August 4th, a huge section of the city of Beirut was destroyed. Thousands of homes and commercial buildings were heritage structures. They'd survived the country's 15-year civil war. But now many of those buildings are at risk of not being restored or rebuilt. And Beirut is at risk of losing its unique architectural fabric. Rebecca Collard reports.
Yes, it was my bedroom. That's my bed for my wife.
On the top floor of the home built by his grandparents, Henri Azar shows me the room he shared with his wife for half a century. The window is blown out and the sun seeps through holes in the ceiling.
This brick, it was built with brick over.
Above this?
Yes. Now there is nothing.
Azar shows me through what's left of his three-story family home with its high ceilings and marble floors. What was once the north-facing wall of his living room is now just a gaping void. Yeah. Looking out, there's a panoramic view of his neighborhood, destroyed. Inside, remnants of his family's shattered life are strewn around the living room. Furniture, magazines, and a portrait of Jesus.
The house of my grandfather. And we lived here since 100 years. Grandfather built the house.
Where were you when it happened?
We were outside. There was a ceremony at the mountain. And we were out. And when we come, nothing.
The blast on August 4th ripped through some of Beirut's oldest neighborhoods. It damaged or destroyed more than 40,000 buildings, many of them heritage homes like Azar's. An estimated 300,000 people were made homeless. That includes Azar and his wife, who are staying with relatives outside Beirut. The Azars estimate the damage to their home to be about $200,000, money they don't have. Azar hopes the government will help out, but Lebanon is $90 billion in debt and there's swaths of the city to rebuild. Meanwhile, real estate investors are circling, says Naji Raji, a preservation activist with Save Beirut Heritage.
On Tuesday, the blast happened. On Thursday, we've had news of investors. They were on the street trying to take advantage of what happened and the weakness of the people in that time. We hope that they didn't succeed.
Many homeowners now face a difficult decision. Sell their family homes to investors knowing they will likely be torn down and replaced by a high-rise, or risk becoming homeless because they don't have the funds to rebuild. Raji says that engineers have begun visiting homes to assess damage, but that real estate companies are sending their own engineers to neighborhoods to trick people into leaving.
Some engineers are paid by these companies to give fake assessments and to convince these people that they need to right away leave from this house because it's going to collapse on their heads.
And why would they do that?
To take advantage.
If investors win and homes like Azar's are destroyed, Beirut could lose a big swath of its distinctive architecture, a medley of Arab, Ottoman, and French colonial buildings. Some say that's what happened to the city's downtown, which was once the heart of Beirut. Old structures damaged during the country's civil war were replaced by modern ones, and the city center was never the same. Raji and his fellow activists are trying to keep that from happening again. They've set up a fund to help people like the Azars repair their homes. But with so many houses damaged, the cost is big.
In my low estimation, it would be like maybe $120, $150 million.
That's just heritage buildings, and so far they've raised only $100,000, though Naji says millions more have been pledged. Several other initiatives are also trying to help people repair their homes. Shortly after the explosion, a law was passed barring the sale of property in the blast-affected area. But Raji says he has little faith that law will protect the people.
Because protecting heritage means a big, big loss for their construction companies and their investment companies.
Back on the Azar Street, banners hang from buildings with the words, "We are staying," in thick red letters. Inside his home, Azar shows me the east side of the apartment, which was hit by a rocket during the Civil War.
We fix it.
They repaired it and stayed, he says. But now there is much more damage. A wall is missing. A cabinet in the kitchen holds up a section of the roof. Smashed doors and windows lay in piles on the floor. A team of engineers arrives to survey the damage, these ones with official IDs from the syndicate. In the apartment below, they point to a deep crack in the wall where it looks like the two rooms that the wall divides might literally fall away from each other. The glass and frames are blown out of the traditional three-arch windows in the front of the building. It will cost, say the engineers, but it's repairable. From the window, crews can be seen already repairing a building on the other side of the street, a modern high-rise recently built. The Azar's home is on what's become a busy street filled with restaurants and bars before the blast. It's prime real estate. And Henri Azar says they have had many offers to sell since the explosion.
So many, but we told them not for sale. That's my ancestor's house. I couldn't.
But for now, he also can't rebuild. For the world, I'm Rebecca Collard in Beirut.
From PRX.